Well, one time I was here, I think it was with Dennis, but last time he was here, or maybe the time before, I was here with him and I was started to teach something, but he did his part about Uganda, and so I didn't really finish it, and I was thinking, I always wanted to finish that it's this teaching that legalism, license, and liberty. And it's like three L's. You know, I remember Pastor Jim teaching it, and it just was amazing to me. And I always thought about it, remembered it. And it changed me because, you know, my problem was legalism. It wasn't licentiousness. And so liberty, here's the thing that a lot of the body of Christ doesn't know. Liberty means we're no longer under law, we're under grace. And then I go right to this verse in Romans 6, says, right after he says, reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God. That's the right thinking right there. You go to God, don't think about what you feel like or whatever, your flesh. Reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God. And then the next verse, or maybe two verses down, it says, for, because you sin will not have dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. And most of the churches, especially denominational churches, they think, you know, you're saved by faith. They believe that. But their sanctification, their Christian walk, they carry out by their self-effort. So they just go, really, you're just going right back to the old covenant. So you're double-minded. And I grew up with that. I think Walter did, maybe some of you did, that's really what they teach. They teach, you know, you need to be good and clean up your life. And that is totally false. The thing about it is, it says in that verse, grace will create holiness in your life, because that's the fruit of looking at grace. And so grace is not just mercy, it's also the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. God loves me when I'm no good. That changes you. It doesn't just give you mercy, it changes you when you know that He loves you and there's nothing to worry about. I'm not going to worry about my sin. That's the devil, just like Raul was saying. That's another voice coming in. Hey, you got to do something about that. No. You know, it says, there's a scripture somewhere, I think in the Gospels, it says, agree with your adversary, which is Satan, while he's in the way with you, the path. And he's coming up and saying, you just sin there. What he's saying is, you're not righteous, just like Walter was talking about. And he's like, well, thank you. He says, agree with him. I agree. I just sin right there. But did you know that sin has been removed from me as far as the east is from the west? Did you know the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all unrighteousness? He's running down the road as soon as he hears anything about the blood of Jesus. He's gone. So that's why God allows us to have a flesh. This is the way I think about it. We still have a flesh while we're down here, and we still have an enemy. And it's to make us run back to Jesus every day, because I can't do it in the flesh. And we can easily defeat the devil. And so he allows him to do his thing, and so that you will look at him. And as soon as you do, the guy has got to go. And it works. You can feel that when you speak that out loud. You know, we need to speak it. But anyway, legalism, license, which is licentiousness, and liberty. So what's the difference between, we know the difference between liberty and legalism. It's pretty huge. But what is licentiousness? Licentiousness means, okay, I'm under grace, so I can do any sin I want to. But the problem there is not that they can sin. The problem is they're not under grace. They're saying, I can do any sin I want to because we're not under law. That's true. You can, and you're forgiven. But are you receiving that grace? Are you receiving that? Because if you do, it'll change you. And So licentiousness is not getting it either. They're not going to liberty. Liberty is, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, and grace will change me. It will make me a different person. I'll sin less as time goes on. There'll be more, less fruit of, like Raw was talking about, fruit. Really, what we call sin is just often the fruit of looking at the wrong thing. And I'm under grace. That tells me God loves me. And it says faith, which works by love. So faith works. It does something in your life. It doesn't just mean you're under his mercy, and so that's good. But it actually does something. It works. It changes you. The more you know he loves you, the less you sin less when you know that, because you're not under a lie anymore. So legalism, license, and liberty. I forgot my Bible in my notes. I had my verses down, but I kind of know. So let me go to my electronic Bible. I like the book of James because I used to not like it because it sounded legalistic. It sounded legalistic. And one day I read where it says, right here, where is it? He's basically saying, I'm going to paraphrase James. He's saying, you have this sin in your life and this sin and this sin, but here's why. It's because, I'll just read it. So, if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, in other words, he's still abiding in liberty, he's abiding in Jesus, but a doer of the work, he's a doer of the work because he's abiding in Jesus. So liberty creates holiness. This man shall be blessed in his deed. He'll have a holy life because of the liberty that he's abiding in that. He's thinking about that. No, I'm under this law here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm not under the law of Moses, because God has already, through Jesus, he's already gotten rid of all my sins. And there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And it says in the same place, Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And he says, why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's your spirit and life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Because what the law couldn't do, in that it, see, the law had no ability to make you holy. So people that are doing the law, you're just going to sin more, because that's the purpose of the law, is to show you that you can't keep it. And it says that in, I don't have the verse here because I didn't bring it, but it's like 2 Corinthians or somewhere, 1st or 2nd Corinthians, kind of 14, 15 chapter. It says the law is the strength of sin. So that tells you the purpose of the law is to bring out the sin that's in you. So if you want to obey the law, go ahead, here, try it. And it will show you that you're a sinner. And Paul says that in Romans. He says, Romans 5, he says, the law came that, so that. The law came so that sin might abound. And when you know that sin abounds, then grace starts to work, because you know yourself as a sinner. You're not hiding your sin. You know you're messed up. You know you can't be good of your own doing. That's what ruins religion. Now you have no religion. You know I can't do it. Now you go to the Spirit. You go to Jesus. And then now grace starts to work, because it first loves you, gives you mercy and loves you, and that will change you. I mean, it's really simple. But I never, you know, growing up in the family I was in the Baptist church, I never really understood that. I see it said grace, but I had no experience of it. And then as I grew older, the more sinful I became. It's like grace started to work automatically because, I don't know, it just started to work. The Lord started loving me when I didn't hide my sin. I don't think you did that, Willis. You weren't, didn't sound like you were religious. But if you're religious, you're trying to hide your sin. Like, God's going to get you. I got to, you know. But if you're just who you are, you don't have a mask on, you're a sinner. That's the one, that's like Jim would say, that's the only one you really are in the flesh. That's who you are. And so that you have no ability to obey the law. He's just showing you, giving you that so that you can see that. You can see that I can't do it. It's only he can do it. And he's already done it all. And, you know, you think about it, the law was given 400 years after the gospel. What I mean is, Abraham is the father of our faith. And he lived 400 years. Well, 400 years later was Moses and the law. And so I used to wonder, a long time ago, I used to wonder, why did he even give the law if we're going to be under the gospel? And even from the beginning, the gospel was from the beginning. The gospel came long before the law. That's why Jim asked one time, he asked a trick question. He said, which came first, the New Testament or the Old Testament? And your mind wants to say the Old Testament. And then you're like, no, this is a trick question. And he pointed out a verse in the New Testament. I can't remember where it is, but he that said that really, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the gospel was there all along before we were even placed on the earth. And the gospel came in the garden. I mean, he didn't even punish them. They didn't die like he said they would die. They died in a different way. But they didn't die physically for, you know, hundreds of years later. And then, like Jim said, I'm always quoting Jim, but he didn't condemn Adam and Eve. And then when he got to Satan, he condemned Satan. I always thought that. I never realized that until he said that. And so right there, he didn't condemn us. They messed up, but he didn't condemn them. But he did say, because you've done this, this will happen in your life. That's the result of it. But he knew Jesus was coming later to do what was already done from the foundation of the world, to die for our sins. And there's no condemnation. But the point is that the law came for a reason 400 years after Abraham, father of our faith, because the law is there to show you that you can't keep it. Once you know you can't keep it, then you're going to go to the gospel, because that's the only thing left, unless you're stubborn and stiff-necked. And a lot of Christians do that, and they're stiff-necked and stubborn, meaning they're still under law. They're still under their own human nature, trying to live the Christian life in the flesh, you know, trying to be good, and you can't do it, and he's already done it. It's like you're saying no to my gospel. And you're saying yes to this lie, which is from Satan. You know, God gave the law, but Satan turned it into a religion. God gave the law so that you would realize you can't keep it.
What was that first scripture that you're on right now?
James 1?
About?
The law of liberty?
Yes.
It's James 1, 25. And actually, in the next chapter, he has another statement. It might be the greatest statement in the New Testament. It's in the book of James, because in the second chapter, he says, listen to this, so live and so do. This is how you live your life. So live and so do as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty, not the law of Moses. Think about that. You're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Did you receive as your Savior? He's already paid for all your sins. Did you reject that or did you receive that? If you received it, you're in. Even if you live a crummy life, you know, people think, I used to think maybe if I didn't live a good life after I was a Christian, maybe I'm going to lose my salvation. I was scared my whole life about that. That's why Jim was so good for me. And But no, you're going to make it. If you believe, you're going to make it. But the problem is the church doesn't teach that you grow in the same way in which you were saved. In the same way in which you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. You received him by faith. You didn't do anything to get that. You just received it in a prayer. And so that's the same thing that saves you is the same thing that sanctifies you. And so there's the test your whole life is Satan's going to bring things against you to make you not look at Jesus, look at yourself, or look at somebody else who's offended you or whatever. And the whole thing is about keeping your eyes on Jesus. It's really just what Raul said. I was going to read Romans 7. I love Romans 7 because it's really clear that he tells you the reason why the law was given. It wasn't given for you to keep it. It was given for you to realize you can't keep it. So listen to this. For I was alive without the law once. He's already said in the first part of Romans 7, we're no longer under law. We're under Jesus. We're under Jesus, and he's the one that fulfills and brings the fruit in our lives. And then he starts going back talking about the law. Why was it given? And he's explaining it. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. In other words, you tried to do the law, and it brought out your sin. That's the purpose of the law. And I died. Something about dying in your sin. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, to bring you to the gospel, I found to be unto death. Because sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, it slew me. It killed me in my sin. It brought out the sin in me. I thought I was supposed to obey it. And when I tried, it did nothing but bring out sin. And then he says, was then that which is good, he's talking about the law is good, actually, because it has a purpose from God's point of view, made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin to me, working death in me by that which is good. So the law kills you. That's kind of a strange thing because we think of death as in a different way. It kills you because it means you have no righteousness of your own whatsoever. You have no holiness and no righteousness of your own. So you better go to the free gift of righteousness. You better go to Jesus. Let him do it. And that's what he says in Romans 7. So, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And that's what happened in my life, is the more sinful I became, and I was trying to be good, and that led to more sin. It really did. The law, the strength of sin is the law. The law is the strength of sin. It will bring out more sin. That's the purpose of it. So you can see, nothing good dwells in me. That's what he's getting ready to say in Romans 7. Nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, not my spirit. My spirit's perfect because I'm a new creation. So I love this now. It totally changes the way I grew up. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Natural, fleshly, sold under sin, because that which I do, I actually do, I don't want to do. For what I want to do, I don't do that. I hate my sin, because he's talking about my inner man doesn't want to do the sin, but I find myself doing it. That's to lead you to a relationship, to get out of legalism and get into a relationship. Liberty will bring about relationship. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I want to do, that I don't do. But what I hate, I do. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's interesting. So how he's talking about, I'm two people. In my spirit, I'm a new creation. That's who I really am. Again, that goes back to what Raul said. We've got to always go back to the Spirit. This is who you really are now. You really aren't. I mean, he accomplished that on the cross for everybody. He not only forgave us, he gave us a new spirit. If you receive it. If you say, yes, I'll take that salvation, you actually are already perfect. So that's what we abide in. We abide in how we're perfect in the Spirit. And we you know, it's the way I look at it, it's just me. The way I look at it in my mind is I got my spirit here, my soul here, and my body here. And here I am every day. I wake up and I have a flesh here and I'm in my soul. You have to go back here to where you started from every day. But it's just by faith. I just speak these words that he said are true. I speak them because that's faith. I don't do anything. I just speak something. I'm looking at someone. I'm looking in the mirror at Jesus, and I'm in Jesus. I am who he is now because he became Son of Man for us, died for all our sins, lived perfectly for us, died for all our sins, past, present, and future. And I say all those kind of words that will change you. Just like you prayed a prayer at a church somewhere or in prison and it changed you. Jesus came in when you did that. And all you did was just pray some prayer some guy told you to pray. You didn't even know what you're doing, but you agreed to it. And so that's what we do every day. That's how we're in the same way in which I was saved. That's how I'm made holy. That's how I walk the Christian life. I go back to my salvation. It's right here. In fact, salvation is spirit, soul, and body. But you have to get it into the soul every day. It's already perfect here in the spirit. But you take that and say, I'm actually perfect in him. I'm not lustful. I'm not proud. I'm not angry at that person. I know I just got angry at him, but he's already forgiven me of that, and it's already removed from me as far as the east is from the west, and I'm perfect over here in the spirit. You start talking like that, the spirit comes out into the soul and changes your will, mind, and emotions. That's why we need to spend more time with him. And he can do that for you too. That's something I always pray. I say, Lord, you be, I'd say it the way Ron Tiso says it. He teaches on the bride, on Song of Songs. And he says, we're under covenant. And this is, I remember Jim teaching this. We're under covenant. Under the covenant, what did God do with Abraham when he cut the covenant? What happened was they had an altar of some kind, and they had some animals there. They're going to sacrifice, you know, cut the animals and sacrifice them. And that's like representing Jesus on the cross thousands of years later. They did that. But Abraham, then the birds came down, and Abraham's trying to kill those birds. He's, you know, he's swatting them away, and he's working up his sweat. And finally, God puts him to sleep. That's a picture of death in the soul, because I can't do it. So he's going to put you to sleep. That's what it means that you die in your sins. I remember Jim saying in his prayer life, he died in his sins every day and was raised up with the mercy of confessing his sin. And then he receives his mercy. And all of a sudden you feel the Holy Spirit every day. It's like you get saved every day. Really, it's the same thing. But that produces a holy life because now you have the fruit of the Spirit. Man, he loves me. And before you know it, I'm not doing, you know, I used to drink like crazy and I kept crying out to God, and it wasn't even condemnation. I didn't have any condemnation or guilt. I was just like my kidney's starting to hurt. I didn't even, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to lose a kidney and go to the hospital. And I don't want to go to those places. I don't trust those people. And I don't want to lose an organ. And it's like, I'd rather just die, Lord, really. I don't know if I'd really followed through on it if I had gone to the if I had done that. Maybe I would just, I don't know. But I really don't want to live that way. And I said, God, if you don't do it, you know what it was, Willis? It was when I knew, growing up religiously, that's why the law came, is to, okay, go ahead and try it, Clay. Now you've been drinking for 3 years now, and you can't get rid of it. What it showed me is that I really can't keep the law at all. If you don't set me free from this, it's going to destroy my body, and I have no way of getting out of this except you. And that's where he's going to end up in Romans 7. This is the purpose of the law. So what I'm doing here is killing legalism. You know, legalism, license, and liberty. And so he says, for in me, That is in my flesh, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And this is a Christian talking. There are legalistic theologians that say, oh no, Paul was going back to when he was a sinner and he wasn't saved. No, he's not. He's very clear. He's saying, that's why he says in another place here in Romans 7, he says, so it's not me that's doing the sin. It's my flesh in me. So there's, and see, a worldly person who's not saved can't talk that way. He's only a soul and a flesh. And then, you know, will, mind, emotions, and their body. Paul says, no, you're actually a new creation here, and your flesh is already dead. When he did it on the cross, your flesh died. Your sin that you're worried about is already dead. It's already forgiven, and it's already dead. If you look at that every day and speak it, then it'll start to affect you. He says, in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good things, for to will to do the good thing is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. This is a Christian talking, definitely. And he repeats it again, for the good that I want to do, my inner man, he says, wants to do the good, I don't do it. And I want to do it, but I don't do it. And he has an answer for this, you know. I do the evil that I don't want to do, and then I go down a little bit. I find then a law that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. My sin nature is still in me. It's in my soul. I believe when he died on the cross, it says, Paul says, we have a circumcision took place. You know, in the Old Testament, it was a physical thing, and it was a sign that Abraham believed. It wasn't a sign that he did a work. He believed without works. It says that in Romans. But so when he died, you died in him, and your flesh died. Where is this? Okay, anyway, going back to this. So evil is present with me. So I still have a flesh, but that makes me go back to faith. Okay, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My inner man, the new creation in me, wants to do the good, but I can't do it. Meaning, in my soul, I have a flesh still as a Christian. I can't do that good with my flesh. And he says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Members, I see that as your soul and your body, your will, mind, emotions. And, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He's now looking outside of himself. I can't do this. I can't stop drinking. Only you can do it. And that's when he'll do it. That's your death. That's what death means in the Christian walk. It doesn't mean death the way we think of it. It means your old man died because, and you have no righteousness of your own, and you have no holiness of your own, but I will do it for you. Just like I saved you, I will also sanctify you. So that's what lordship is. You don't have lordship automatically when you're a Christian. And you have to really ask him to come in, just like you asked him to come in for salvation. You ask him to come in, give me the Holy Spirit. Live the Christian life in me because I can't do it. That's what he's saying here. That's your death. You died because you can't do it. And so now you're going for relationship. You come in me, you can do it. I know you can do it. And that's when now you have a spiritual, lively relationship with him. And I just woke up one day, and for whatever reason, actually it was a little bit weird. I had 8 days straight where I didn't drink, and I didn't want to drink, and I hardly even thought about it. And I told Walter, I said, man, I haven't drank for 8 days. And that never happened in the last 3 years, is what I was telling him. And then I went back to drinking. I was like, Lord, I think I know what happened now. I wasn't quite dead yet. I don't know what that was, really. I can't explain it. But I went back, and I drank less But I still drank some. And I said, Lord, you got to get rid of this. So it made me cry out to him again. You know, come on, God, do it all the way. I blamed him. And then after a while, it was gone. And it's just like, it doesn't dominate me anymore. And that was amazing. I knew at the end, I knew I can't stop this sin. I can't stop it. And that is the point of the law, to show you that you can't keep it. That makes you go to relationship, meaning, God, you do it in my soul like you did in my spirit when you saved me. You become savior of my soul, so to speak, Lord in my soul. If I give it to him, then he'll give me his will. You have to give him the permission to do it, because he's not going to just save you unless you say, I agree to this. Boom, then he'll do it real quick. And it's the same thing with lordship. If you say, God, I give you, because this is my soul and body. He's given to me. He created me, but he gave it to me, and he gave me a free will. I agree that only you can be Lord in my life. Please come in and save me before I destroy myself, you know. And that's the way I felt about it. And then he's starting now to do that. That's, my life has been changed. It took a long time for me to get free of religion. And it wasn't until the 2000s that I started to get free. I had peace at first, and it still wasn't, what I would call the fullness of the Spirit. And then now it's better. It's just growing. But anyway, I love Romans 7. I love all that stuff. Because it makes perfect sense. I can't live the Christian life. I couldn't save myself. He did that. And I can't live for him either. He does that too. It's great. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this sin nature that's still in me, even though I'm a Christian? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And then he goes right into Romans 8. And the first sentence is, there is no condemnation. That's the first part. It actually doesn't exist. We need to say these kind of words every day of our lives. This, I felt condemnation for that. I really can't stand that person and or whatever. It's just some sin that we have. And it's like, well, no, you can't do it. It's just, first of all, you're already righteous. You're righteous by faith. It says, we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law. I love that verse. Apart from my works, I'm saved by his grace, not by my works. And I'm also sanctified by his works, not mine. And that's amazing to me. He really, that's why Jim always said, Jesus does it all. But you got to let him do it. You have to let go. And that's what death means to me. And Galatians 2, 19 and 20. I think I said all this stuff the last time I taught here. And Galatians 2, 19 and 20. Here's the purpose of the law. For through the law, I died to the law. I died to my religion. Why? So that I might live unto God. How does the law help you live unto God? How does dying to the law help you live unto God? Because it's no longer I that live, the next verse, that's your death, but Christ that lives in me. So you died when you said, I can't do this. That was your death. And the quicker you die, the better. And then now the Holy Spirit, grace comes to you automatically. You start to feel grace. You start to feel the Holy Spirit and the peace and the joy. It changes you. I'm trying to think of another verse. I can't think of it. But, it says John 15, I think, where he says, abide in me. This is kind of what we're saying here. Abide in me and I in you. Well, abide in me, it could be your spirit, but also abide in me over your soul. Abide in me and I in you, because apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, nothing is nothing. So I don't even read the Bible enough. Please do that. Work in me your will in me, overcoming my fleshly will, and so that your will in me changes me. I'm going to read this song. The Lord keeps giving me these songs, keep coming up in my heart just out of nowhere. And it really is good. And some of these songs are really have a, it's like they have a rhema attached to it. Something I'm praying about is in the song. And sometimes it's just a praise that comes up. And I feel it, and I know it's from Him. It's not, I wasn't thinking about it, and it's just awesome. Where is this one? Hold on, I got so many. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. And then the refrain, I need Thee every hour. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I'm not looking to me anymore. I'm going to have to look to You. I need You every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. When you're near temptations, you know, when you feel the presence of God, you're not tempted to sin. You're just enjoying the Lord. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain.
Yes.
Isn't that good? Come quickly and abide. Not me abide in You. You come and abide in me, or life is worthless. I can't do this life. I can't do what You want. I need Thee every hour. Teach me Thy will, and Thy rich promises in me fulfill. You do it. Now you're looking, Paul's looking outside of himself. I can't overcome this. You do it. Thanks be unto God. He does it. And that's why after he says there's no condemnation, then the very next thing he's talking about, like 3-4 verses later in Romans 8, is the mind set on the flesh, you're focusing on your flesh. It goes back to what Raul said. You're focusing on your old man. Why are you doing that? You're a new creation. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And that's the law of the Spirit. So now we were under, up here, we're under the law of Moses, which is to kill your flesh, to make you see you have no goodness in you, in your old man, in your flesh. But in me, I've got everything for you. And that's who you are over here in the Spirit. But let's put it now in your soul. So the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And that's like I tell people, Romans 7 and Romans 8 is the same thing. You want to read it real quickly? Just go to Galatians 2:19 and 2:20. For through the law, I died to the law. That's what Romans 7 is saying. So that I might live unto God, it's no longer. So now I'm dead to the law. Now I'm alive to the gospel. I'm alive to the Spirit. It's no longer I that live in my soul. I'm not trying to do the Christian life. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So